Elliot.
It is 6:22. Let's talk to Simon Marks, joins us on the line from Washington. Simon, a welcome back to you.
Thank you very much, Tim. Always good to be here.
So you're back in Washington, a lot of travelling done, you're off travelling soon. However, the news cycle never stops, does it? Top former national intelligence officials saying President Trump is being played by Russia and is a peril to the US. That's what they're saying. How has the Trump team responded, Simon?
Well, they, of course, are scoffing at the notion that Donald Trump is being played by Russia, Tim. All of this came as a result of Donald Trump's travels. He, as you know, has spent the last 11 days in Asia. And after a brief meeting with Vladimir Putin on the sidelines of the APEC summit in Vietnam, President Trump claimed that every time he meets the Russian leader insists that the Russians had absolutely nothing to do in interfering in America's elections last year, and Donald Trump indicated, at least in his first reference to that conversation with Vladimir Putin, that he was more prone to believing Vladimir Putin than he was to believing the country's former intelligence chiefs, the people who were running the CIA and a variety of other intelligence agencies here in Washington, D.C., under Barack Obama and George W. Bush's watch. Indeed, he dismissed them as political hacks. They, of course, are the people who co-authored the report that was published in which America's intelligence agencies unanimously concluded that the Russians had made attempts to sway the outcome of last year's presidential election. So those men, at least two of them, described by President Trump as political hacks, went on television yesterday. John Brennan and James Clapper, both of them former very senior U.S. intelligence officials, claiming that President Trump is being played by the Russians, and in the case of James Clapper, the former Director of National Intelligence, claiming that Donald Trump is putting the United States in peril as a result of his approach to Russia. Now, this is highly, highly, highly unusual. I can't remember a time in the recent history of the presidency, whether the president was a Democrat or a Republican, when intelligence chiefs and a president of the United States were so publicly at war with one another. It is stunning for everybody here in Washington to watch. President Trump insisted that what he said about Vladimir Putin was merely that Vladimir Putin believes it when he says he believes that the Russians didn't try to sway the outcome of last year's U.S. election. But it's far less clear what Donald Trump actually believes, because at no point did he say, which he could have done very simply, I heard what Vladimir Putin said about no involvement by the Russians in last year's election, and I just disagree with him. He never says that, and that's leading everybody here to conclude that he does indeed dismiss the intelligence analysis that was published by those people that he now refers to as political hacks.
And Simon, he's wrapping up his trip to Asia in the Philippines. The White House so far refusing to say whether he did raise the human rights over there with the president in the government, rather, in Manila.
Yeah, I mean, this is an astonishing series of developments. Remember that Rodrigo Duterte, the president of the Philippines, is a self-confessed killer. He has bragged about killing people. His government has participated in the extrajudicial killing of more than 6,000 people in the Philippines, suspected of being involved in the drugs trade. And he has defended the idea of these targeted assassinations that in no way bring people before a court, give them an opportunity to profess their innocence. These people are simply gunned down on the street. Duterte has defended this and said, look, I told the Filipino people this is what the kind of justice I was going to deliver when I ran for office. Now, you know, you would think that a president of the United States, any president of the United States, would be a steadfast critic of that kind of approach to human rights. The White House now says that President Trump did touch on the human rights issue when he had conversations with President Duterte, but the Filipinos insist that the issue did not come up during those conversations, redolent, by the way, of the Kremlin saying that the issue of Russian interference in the U.S. election did not come up in the conversation with President Trump, despite what the President of the United States is himself saying. It seems that on the issue of the Philippines, Donald Trump is very eager to draw a contrast between himself and Barack Obama. Barack Obama abandoned meetings with Rodrigo Duterte because Rodrigo Duterte said truly shocking things about Barack Obama's parentage. The president at the time was in the air heading to the Philippines and decided to abandon the visit. Donald Trump seems somewhat proud of the fact that he's had a meeting with the president of the Philippines where Barack Obama abandoned one. But again, quite what this achieved, given President Trump's expressed admiration for Rodrigo Duterte with his very colored civil rights record, I think is going to be open to substantial interpretation here.
Simon, I'm going to put to one side the serenade by President Duterte last night to President Trump. But if you look back at the Asia trip overall, what's it achieved from a United States perspective?
Well, look, I mean, President Trump's supporters will say that this has passed off not only without incident, but actually that it has deepened relationships, particularly those between President Trump and Xi Jinping of China. It's certainly given President Trump an opportunity to demonstrate that he is committed to deepening U.S. involvement in Asia. It won't have gone unnoticed by governments in the region that he did show up for the APEC summit, and he did attend the ASEAN meeting. And, you know, that is a continuation of a policy that was really begun by President Obama to deepen involvement in Asia. And many of us wondered whether President Trump would continue down that road. With regard to President Xi Jinping, you know, they had apparently quite a robust dialogue. It's not clear that the Chinese made any significant concessions on trade. It's not clear that the Americans won any significant concessions from the Chinese over the issue of negotiating and increasing pressure on Kim Jong-un in North Korea. And it's also worth making the point that President Trump, at least at the APEC meeting, was somewhat on the sidelines as the other members of APEC all got together and established the rules of the road for their own Trans-Pacific Partnership, that proposed huge free trade deal from which Donald Trump has withdrawn the United States. I think it will also be a trip that's remembered once again for the very ill-disciplined use of Twitter by President Trump in the latter stages of the trip. Extraordinary array of tweets over the weekend talking about the fools and the haters who are against him and insisting that he is doing his best to make America great again, but all of this expressed in the usual kind of truculent terms that he often uses on Twitter, although he did go several days last week without engaging in that kind of behaviour.
And just very briefly, Simon, he does return to massive political mess in his Republican Party. That's over in Alabama when he gets back. What's going on there?
Huge packet of trouble waiting for him when he lands back here in the United States within his own party. And again, you know, Donald Trump's biggest problem is his fellow Republicans. Often they're very, very critical of him. In this case, it is a Senate candidate in Alabama, Judge Roy Moore, who appears to be in political meltdown after the Washington Post published a deeply reported article making various allegations about Roy Moore's personal behavior several years ago with women and girls who are much younger than him. He is still in the race. He insists that this is a political stitch-up by the liberal media, but Republicans here in Washington may soon have a very tough decision to make. If he wins that election in Alabama, will they allow him to sit in the Republican caucus in the United States Senate? The Republican leader of the Senate, Mitch McConnell, is said to be deeply opposed to that idea, given the gravity of the revelations that the Washington Post published Donald Trump has been very careful to dance around this issue and not weigh in a declarative way, and that's partly because there are echoes in the allegations being made against Roy Moore of some of the allegations about Donald Trump's alleged womanizing that were made in the run-up to the presidential election last year. So this is a tightrope for the president politically, and perhaps a tightrope for the president personally as well.
Simon Marks, based in Washington, D.C. Always good to talk to you, Simon. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Just after 6:30.